Many of us woke up to the sad news this morning that celebrity chef and author Anthony Bourdain is dead. CNN reported it was the result of suicide. Earlier this week, fashion designer Kate Spade also took her own life. Her family said they had tried to get her to get help for depression for years. And when these kinds of high-profile people commit suicide, many of us ask ourselves, how can someone so successful, wealthy, beloved commit suicide?
The news came in the same week that the Center for Disease Control and Prevention released new statistics that show suicide rates are up sharply across the country. From 1999 to 2016, the report shows increases in suicide rates in all but one state and across age, gender, race, and ethnicity. And to help us make sense of what might be behind this rise, I spoke with Dr. Karen Olson earlier this morning. She's the chair of the Department of Psychiatry at Maricopa Integrated Health System. And I asked her about these high-profile incidents of suicide. Does the amount of success that someone has experienced have anything to do with how likely they are to take their own life?
I don't really think that it does. I mean, certainly stresses in life, and poverty is a stress, increase your risk of many types of mental illness and increased risk for suicide if you have very few social supports. But that isn't to say that people who are wealthy or notable or famous are not at risk for depression and at risk for suicide, because they are. I think that people tend to assume, my gosh, you know, this person has all the money in the world or is very successful. How could it be that they are depressed? But I think that that reflects a misunderstanding about what depression is or what severe depression is. Severe depression is a brain disorder. It can start even during times in your life when everything is going wonderfully. It does not discriminate between wealthy people, poor people, people of different races, sexes, etc. I mean, depression does have higher or lower frequency in certain demographic groups, but basically no one is spared. And I think if you actually talk to most people and about their own personal history or their family history, almost everyone has had someone in their life who has suffered from significant mood disorder or depression. Mm-hmm. In the U.S. adult population, 7% of the U.S. adult population in the past year has had an episode of major depression.
Yeah. So I want to broaden this out and a little bit and talk about the new statistics on suicide that the CDC just released. They show that suicide rates were up across the country from 1999 to 2016. In Arizona, the rates are up 17%. So when you see trends like this, is there any way of knowing what might be behind this?
I can't necessarily say that I have seen research that proves one thing or another. My own personal opinion about it, and I think it's probably shared by many people, is that opiate addiction does play a role in the higher rate of completed suicide. Overdose is a common way that people attempt suicide. Opioids are extremely dangerous in overdose, and it's much more likely that a person would actually die from overdosing on opiates than on some other or many other types of medication. So I think that is one thing that is playing a role in the higher rates.
Yeah. What's your reaction to that when you see those numbers? Is that surprising to you at all in your work?
Actually, suicide rates have been going up for several years now. It's actually kind of a unheralded, unnoted public health crisis, basically. Many other types of medical problems that lead to people's death in this country get a lot of attention, heart disease, strokes, etc. But I don't think people commonly realize that suicide is the 10th leading cause of death. It's the second leading cause of death for teenagers. And the rates have been going up for several years. So whatever we have been doing is not being effective at decreasing this problem that's killing many of our fellow citizens.
Yeah. So let's talk about what's being done and what can be done. On a broad level, like on a national level, on a systemic level, what do you think some solutions might be?
Well, I think that it's important to approach suicide as a public health issue. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there is a great deal of attention being paid to the opioid epidemic right now. I think that we do need to pay attention to the role of firearms in people killing themselves, because firearms are the most common way that people commit suicide. In addition, I think that a public awareness campaign about the symptoms of depression, what are the warning signs that somebody may be nearing suicide, would be very helpful. I think in our country, as in most places, there's a big stigma against people acknowledging that they're struggling with depression and seeking help, especially in certain populations. Men in particular, non-white individuals are less likely to seek help for depression. So I think that it would be important to get the word out that it is a brain disorder. It does not reflect lack of willpower or weakness or something like that. It's a medical problem like other medical problems, and it's important for friends and family members to recognize the symptoms and step in and help someone seek treatment. The treatment for depression is highly effective. It does not take years, and it's usually a combination of both medication and psychotherapy. But people first have to seek it out, and I think that that's the first step that often the person doesn't get there.
Yeah. All right. That's Dr. Carol Olson. Dr. Olson, thank you so much for joining us to talk to us about this today.
Thank you.
Dr. Carol Olson is the chairman of the Department of Psychiatry at Maricopa Integrated Health System, joining us to talk about the increase in suicide rates in the U.S.